The following podcast is a part of RadioMisfits.com.
Welcome to Misfits Making It. We're oddballs and we're doing cool stuff. I'm your host, Lauren LaJudice. This is the podcast version of the comedy shows I host around New York City and the road, the Misfit Variety Show, and all the shows at the Capiche Club, Misfit Comedy Space, down in Little Italy. Now, how's it going? How's it going in your Misfit world? I've been, you know, continuing to deal with the darkness that's upon us, and then about like 10 days from now, it'll start getting lighter bit by bit. And the holidays, hopefully, like that gets a little, you know, helps with the seasonal depression and all that stuff. I'm working on applying for an Italian passport from my great-great-grandfather. And it's through my mom, and she's working on it too. And I feel like it's a milestone in therapy. I am seeing all of the things that and the habits that she still has that I don't have anymore because I've gone to therapy and figured them out and worked on them and continue to work on them. And I'm seeing her kind of operate in these like same anxiety spirals that I used to do. So it's kind of weird. I'm like giving her advice like she should have given to me long ago if she was doing this mental health work. But anyway, it's kind of funny to be like, wow, that was me like 10 years ago, but you're my mom. So it's weird. So that's what's happening. Before we go into the interview, which I'm very excited about, it's a call to action here to rate and review. Social proof is really important for misfits because misfits trust other misfits to know what's good. Sign up at laurenlogie.com. You can also sponsor a podcast, and we're making it accessible for individuals or companies. So we put this out every other week. We put it out more often if someone would like to sponsor. Makes a great gift. Go to laurenlogie.com, click on listen and podcast, and contact us there to talk more about it. So today we're interviewing Charlie Sprinkman of Everywhere is Queer. And I really wanted to have this out for holiday time because I know that people are traveling for the holidays. And maybe you listen to this later. Maybe you're in the summer. You're going to be going on a road trip. This app is for you. They have pinned queer businesses and organizations all over the world. So wherever you are, you can go on the website, soon to be app, and you can find out where you can find community. So without further ado, you're going to hear all about how he did it. Let's go to the interview with Charlie Sprinkman. So welcome, Charlie Sprinkman, to Misfits Making It.
So happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right. So you were from Colorado.
I have lived in Colorado a portion of my life. I am originally from Wisconsin.
Okay. Wow. Okay. All right. I'm from New York originally. So I'm like, wow, exotic. Yeah.
You ever been to the rural Wisconsin parts?
Never at all. I see it on TV.
Yeah. It's an experience over there.
Yeah.
Beautiful. It's geographically gorgeous.
So you ran screaming.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I am from like conservative Catholic rural America, so I have not lived there since high school. I am grateful to say I'm still close with my family. I actually just had my mom and sister come visit me, but I did. I have not lived back in Wisconsin since senior year of high school.
Good for you. Good on you.
Yeah.
Wow. So do you have anyone that stayed queer from your community in Wisconsin?
You know, it's so funny. A friend of mine just sent me a photo and was like, throwback Thursday to us in high school. And it's like seven of us. There's four guys in the photo. Three of us are now queer. Well, always queer, but
yes.
Now living our queer lives. One is not. The one that's not still lives in Wisconsin. The three of us do not live in Wisconsin. But people mostly have chosen Milwaukee or Madison, which are extremely queer friendly places. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen more trans flags flown in Madison, Wisconsin than I have in LA.
I wish people would know that more, that there are these blue dots out there.
Oh yeah.
And they're strong. They're hanging on strong.
Oh, I mean, I think, yeah, Milwaukee and Madison, and I speak right now on Madison, but it's an extremely queer space. I mean, it's a big college town, but, I mean, it is very queer and trans friendly and inclusive there. There's definitely a community.
And in Everywhere's Queer, do you feel like you're able to source businesses out in the Netherlands?
So yeah, actually how it works with Everywhere's Queer, I actually don't add any businesses. In the early days, I was seeking out like queer owned businesses, and I'd like email them or message them on Instagram and be like, hey, we'd love to have you on our worldwide map of queer owned businesses. But to date, they all are adding themselves without me reaching out, which is amazing. But what I'm saying is that every business on my platform has added or applied themselves. And then I vet and add them to our platform because I do want their consent to be on our public facing resource. That's free.
Yeah. You know? Oh, yeah. So tell us, where were you when this idea hit to do Everywhere is Queer?
Yeah. I mean, for those like diving in, is it okay if I just say what Everywhere is Queer is?
Yes, we need to say what it is okay. So everyone knows. You should know what it is, cool. But if you don't...
Yeah. 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 For those that don't, Everywhere is Queer is a worldwide map of queer owned businesses and queer serving orgs. Whenever you're listening to this podcast, but when recording this, we just 4 days ago launched a new category on our map of queer serving orgs. So nonprofits, community groups that serve the queer community are also welcome onto the map now. But yeah, that's what it is. But how the idea came to be / where I was, June of 2021, I was volunteering at Brave Trails, which is a queer youth leadership camp for 12 to 18 year old youth, outside of LA. For my first time, I was just there volunteering as a camp counselor and just being in a space of 100 plus queer people, solely queer people, was so euphoric. I mean, it was an experience like nothing else for me. As at that time, I was 24 years old. I had not had that experience before, even having lived in Brooklyn, New York. I just had not been in like for 7 days, 100 queer people. And that was just really beautiful. And so I was like, how could I, at a grander scale, build this experience / feeling? And so I was driving back to Colorado, where I lived at the time. And literally the name Everywhere is Queer and like a worldwide map of queer owned businesses. And so I actually pulled over my car on that drive and I was like Googling on my phone, like, does this exist? I'm like, this is a brilliant idea. All my great ideas come when I'm driving. And I was just Googling and I couldn't really find anything. So I got back to Colorado and I just dove into my computer and I was like, I think as a non-tech person, I think I can like make this. And so, I did. And so I launched it January 2nd of 2022. And here we are now.
Wow. Wow. Super cool. And so when you launched it, you press launch.
Yes. Not a tech person.
And when you launch, because I think this is the thing that holds people back. They're like, I have this idea. I want to do it, but I don't know how to do X, Y, Z to it, like make the thing happen. How did you handle this?
Yeah. You know, I relied on friends and community to like ask questions. I like inspire people, or I don't know if that's the right word. I push people to like lean on your community in like, you know, a certain, like be aware of what you're doing, but you know, don't be afraid to ask questions for support, like just in your friend group. Like, hey, anyone know how to like do this or like have ideas? I do believe like the power of a few brains together can come up with some really big, beautiful things and ideas that one brain alone cannot. I mean, I really feel like I leaned on my friends a little bit, but not having like major techie friends, I just like was Googling around and I was like trying to find other maps and see how their maps were built. And I was like looking at mapping platforms and I got to Google My Maps is how I first started. Wow. If you could find my old map, it is something. As a colorblind human that has no tech background, that was a map that I would not say is the cutest. But we've come around. We've come around. Still don't want to say my map is like perfect, but it's a lot better. So yeah, it took a while. I mean, it took me about 6 months to like launch. So I took my time.
Wow.
I had a full-time job up until just 3 months ago from recording right now. So
congrats.
Thanks.
That's huge. It's huge.
Yeah. Really grateful.
Everywhere is Queer is a self-sustaining entity.
We're trying. I wouldn't say it's perfect, but we're taking deep breaths every day. It is not easy. This is a hustle, but we're working on it, and I really do believe in the project. So I'm dedicating some time right now to really like try to build this out into something fruitful.
And so how, so you started, and then how you were, you said you were in DMing people doing research.
Yeah.
And then how did it start to grow?
Well, March of 2022. So I launched January 2nd. So just 3 months in, NBC picked me up, NBC Out, wrote a whole article on me, which went out to like NBC's main page. Then Now This picked me up. That went out to like, I don't know, I went on all their social mm-hmm. channels. It was over 50 million views across all the channels. The Skim picked me up and went out to their 9 million email nice. Subscriber list at that point. Mm-hmm. And then in June, NBC chose me as one of 30 queer trailblazers next to JoJo Siwa, Lil Nas X. It was JoJo Siwa, Lil Nas X, Carl Nassib, NFL football player, and then Charlie Sprinkman, queer mapper. they wrote a funny article. I mean, thank you to NBC, but one of their headlines was "Lonely Road Trip Inspires Idea," and I was like, "That's not true at all." But okay, they really.
All right. Yeah. Wow.
I had some PR hits that definitely like mm-hmm. created some more volume momentum, which was really cool. And then, you know, I believe that social media can be extremely toxic and it can also be mm-hmm. helpful in beautiful ways. And a lot of my platform has been built via social media channels. And so I've found and connected with a lot of people through Instagram.
Mm-hmm. And what, in terms of building community, what are some things you've learned from the process?
I believe that community saves lives. And I mean that like strongly and firmly. Community has made an extremely positive impact on my life, especially as a queer person, you know, traveling all over the country, because I hadn't mentioned this, but before coming up with this idea, I did live out of a van and I traveled to 50 states. And so I've been to almost every state in the United States.
Wow.
Just seeing pockets of community all over the country, and meeting queer people all over the country, like, and hearing that people are struggling to find community. Yeah. I do believe that like everywhere is queer. There are queer people everywhere. Yeah. And so it's like, how can we bring people together to build community and find your people, find your gays.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Do you get letters of people being like, because of this?
I do. Yeah. You know, I had an Instagram DM from a high school student in Latvia and was like, hey, just want to let you know that I can't be out where I am in my community in Latvia, but knowing that there is a resource and seeing all these pins around the world is keeping me alive right now, because I know that one day when I can leave my little community, I can go to spaces where there are a lot of queer people and I can be out and live my most authentic life. So thank you for inspiring me to keep going. Mm. You know, I've received over hundreds of similar messages, which is just,
wow.
I've cried and cried a lot.
That's a great podcast, or even like just videos, or just reading that.
Yeah, a series for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Because that also like makes people feel less alone that they're touched by it. Be like, oh, whatever, I'm such a loser. Like, I use everyone's queer because I don't know anyone. And then you're like, wait a minute, no one knows anyone.
No, yeah, seriously. And you know, I posted some things back on my Instagram, and but one of my favorite ones was, I just wanted to say how happy I am that I found this Instagram account. I've been wanting laser therapy for my top surgery scars. And through your Instagram, I found a super inclusive place 1 mile from my house. I mean, I can go on reading these, but there's so many. I mean, I got to help a friend find a affirming gym in their area. I use this to show my trans nephew all the wonderful spots in Bend, Oregon, Central Oregon. It's just like, But that's not like, I don't do it for those ego boosts at all. I mean, I do it for, you know, these people. And as one from rural America, it's like rural America has a big place in my heart. About 60 million people live in rural America. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of people.
Yeah. And there's not like, and it's important to remember, as much as we're so freaked out about like the safety of people in rural America, and we should be. And also there's lots of queer people there.
Yeah.
Lots.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, a big thing with Everywhere is Queer is like, I'm not going to let the sad people hold us back from finding community and building community.
Hell yeah.
All over the world.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And then what tools do you see, like, besides the map? Is there anything else you're trying to sort of dreaming up about bringing people together?
You know, I think like it's a huge pivotal time right now with Everywhere is Queer. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of growth. There's a lot of ideas. And so grateful for my partner because he literally went out and bought one of those big, big white things, you know, you can rip off the mm-hmm. write down all your ideas. Yeah. And he's like, we got to write down every single idea. We got to prioritize our time here. You know, I think that there's, I'm just like in a space where I have like 15 ideas and I just need to figure out like where I want to dedicate my time. And mm-hmm. I obviously know that some things will work, some things won't. That's just small biz. But yeah, I mean, I would love to like develop this into like an app, maybe like a more like, I don't know, online community hub of it already is, but like more interaction, connecting retailers with wholesalers. You know, there's a lot of ideas there. Yeah. I have like over 1,100 queer owned businesses that sell wholesale.
Mm.
So like how could we get these people's products into more retail mm-hmm. stores?
Yeah. Just like an economic benefit, a social benefit. Yeah. It's super cool.
Yeah.
There's so much you can do.
There's a lot of ideas. Yeah.
Yeah. It reminds me of, there's just the New York Times. This was like such a beta version that this guy had parties at his house and he would invite people who were just like good people. And then they collected a book and he would put everyone in a book. And you would get a book if you were one of these people. And it was like, and if you were ever in a city, you could look someone up who was in the book.
Cute. I love that.
And it's kind of like a beta. Everyone is queer. Everyone is queer.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of ideas like this. I mean, like the Green Book was created long ago mm-hmm. for BIPOC individuals to find safe spaces all over the country. I will never claim that I am mm-hmm. the first person to come up with like a community resource like this. Not at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's been a lot of inspiring projects before Everywhere is Queer. Definitely.
Yeah. Well, it's testament to like how much we do seek community and how sometimes it can be difficult to find other people.
Absolutely.
Like
and I mean, I didn't only lived in New York City for like 6 weeks because then the pandemic hit.
Oh, no.
I moved there February 4th of 2020, signed a year lease in Crown Heights. But I mean, I've heard from people, even in the metropolitan areas of New York City, it can be hard to find community. So
absolutely. Yeah. You feel so alone. Mm-hmm. Well, New York is everyone's so busy.
Yeah.
So that's a thing.
Yeah.
Everyone, everywhere is busy. That's New York
everywhere
City.
Yeah. People are moving fast over there. Yeah. You know, the West Coast over here, we're all moving a little bit slower.
Yeah. And everyone's like, you know, I'm sorry, Wednesday, I'm going to like, I've worked till 6 and I have like my yoga class and then I'm going to like go to this vegan cooking thing. And sorry, I don't know. Everyone's just super booked up.
Yeah.
It's nuts. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's different. It's a different vibe.
Where
and
in
so
New York
what have
you
learned? I'm in New York. I'm in Kips Bay.
Okay, cool.
Down the east side. I never thought I'd be an east side person, but I'm from Queens originally. So.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I could have used Everywhere is Queer because I, you know, New York, but like the outer reaches of New York are not very gay friendly at all in any way, shape or form. And so just to know there's other spaces, you know, that are nearby.
Yeah.
Not that far.
You'll have to check back because I just did a collaboration with Patagonia, mm-hmm. not the apparel company, but the drag queen.
Mm-hmm.
And we had an amazing piece of content go out this past Thursday, and I've had about 550 org/businesses join the Everywhere is Queer map just since Thursday. And so I was at about 3,500. So whatever, that's like 12% of it. I'm not a math major of growth just in the last 4 days. So you'll have to check the map here in the next few days when I get all these added to the map, because there could be some new ones in all the areas of New York.
Yeah, but where do you see the biggest growth? What area?
That's a really good question. I have not like analyzed that data. But, you know, what I think is so cool, and this is kind of answering your question, but I was going camping this past weekend and in the car, I was just going through some of the applications and I was just reading aloud to the people in the car. I was like, Germany, Australia, Ireland, in a row. And then it's like Sheboygan, Wisconsin, you know, Peoria, Illinois, these like rural spaces. I mean, not that Germany and those places are rural, but like, all over the country. I mean, the world, I mean. It's not just LA and New York, which I think is so cool.
Super
cool. Yeah. So I don't know. I haven't really analyzed this last push of data of like, where's the biggest information.
How do you know if it's a queer owned business? If they're
not. Yeah. Yeah. One, they consent that they are a queer owned business when applying.
Yep.
Two, they provide all their socials and websites and all of that stuff. So I actually go through and I like read their bios. I go check out their websites. I check out their social media. And I will say that queer people are usually, if they're adding to a resource like this, happy to be queer. And you can tell pretty fast that it's a queer owned business, you know? a lot of them say queer owned right in their Instagram bios, you know?
Yeah. I guess because it's like, it's literally on a website that says queer owned. So if you weren't out or out about it, it'd be hard. You're like literally are going to be out through the,
Yeah. And I'm not like gatekeepy about being on the Everywhere is Queer map, you know, like if I'm like, oh, you seem like you're absolutely straight. Like maybe I'll reach out and get to know them, but there's no gatekeeping over here. Like I'm not here to question anyone's sexuality and what it looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then do you think you'll eventually have a team? Is it just you now right now?
It's just me.
Jeez.
I contract. Wow. Yeah. I contract some content creation support just about 5 to 10 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
They actually live in New York City, but just me.
Wow.
I would love to, you know, have you ever heard of Lex?
Lex.
They're like an app and it's all about, I want to say they're like femme like meetups.
Cool.
It's kind of like getting the femme queer community together.
Maybe I went to one of their events. Non-binary. They had them in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're very like well known in New York.
Yeah. I've been to one of their events.
They might even be based out of New York.
Yeah.
I don't know. They inspire me a lot. Their team, like they're just a full team of queer and trans, beautiful, non-binary individuals. And like, I want that for Everywhere is Queer. I'm inspired by them.
Dope. Would you be a remote company or would you have it like Everywhere is Queer?
Oh gosh, I have no idea. I think there's like cool to like come together, but I've also been working remote for the last 5 years of my life. Like my part-time job has been full. That was my full-time job prior to this.
Mm-hmm.
Was fully remote pre-pandemic. Like they've been remote since their birth of their company 10 years ago. And I do really like working remotely. So like, I don't know.
Yeah, the reason why I asked is because I could just imagine a very cool space for Everywhere is Queer. Like
I do too, you know, and I'm a big table tennis player. So I like part of me is like, ooh, I want that like touch of a tech office that has the table tennis.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to have an office and I'm a big competitive like ping pong table tennis player. And so to, you know, those visions of tech offices and they all have their ping pong tables. Well, ours can be way more queer, way more gay, but I do want a ping pong table in the office.
And you can just have rainbow balls or something. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Sparkly balls. I mean, come on. They can even hit, sparkles can fly in the air when you hit the ping pong ball, you know?
Even better. That's awesome. That'll be super fun. Yes. And so you, before this, you were working. Mm-hmm. We were working in customer relationships, right?
Yeah. I've worked in consumer success or customer service for since post-college pretty much. But I currently am still the senior consumer success manager at Four Sigmatic, which is a functional mushroom company.
Mm-hmm.
So Eastern medicine has been a lot of my focus the last few years.
Oh, I've Four Sigmatic, I've drank a lot of your tea.
Oh, amazing. So. Yeah.
Super yum. So how do you think that's helped you with what you're doing now?
You know, I think that I've learned a lot about small business and like teams. You know, I think I don't even manage people right now with Everywhere is Queer, but I did have the opportunity to manage some people at Four Sigmatic, and just all those experiences for me were huge growth, like for my future life of Everywhere is Queer. But I also think that customer service isn't my full on passion of life.
Yep.
I am passionate about Four Sigmatic's products and what they're doing. But I also like felt like I was missing a little bit of my like queer life, you know? And like, I've always been a little entrepreneurship girly. I mean, in third grade, I was bedazzling pens and selling them for 25 cents in school. Signs that I was gay, you know? But yeah, I think that my like career prior to Everywhere is Queer, you know, has helped in many ways.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people sometimes can feel shame about having to have different jobs and then not having that job be exactly what you want right away.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Oh, yeah, that's so real. I think jobs are... I believe that our generation is like not in the mindset of like, I have to work 50 years in this role. Mm-hmm. You know, like if it isn't serving me fully, it might serve and fulfill some needs that I need right now to help me pay my bills to live. Mm-hmm. We live in a very capitalistic world that it's hard to live without making money, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think jobs can fulfill those needs for however long that you need it to. And then you can leave. You're not tied to that job for 50 years like our parents did, you know, with their careers.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. People, there's no way have a job.
No.
Right. And I think at the same time when people start businesses who are in the younger generation, it's not to keep people working there for 30 years.
Totally.
There's no expectation.
No.
It's like you come, you go.
You know, yeah. For what's and to me, it's like love.
Yeah. You know? It's definitely a non-monogamous relationship with your employer.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. I agree.
And do you see, like, in terms of queer businesses, like, do you see differences in just the way they roll compared to other types of businesses, or there's no difference?
I mean, I will say that I haven't like dove deep with a lot of these businesses. Mm-hmm. You know, I like, yeah, get to know them. I highlight them in some spaces. I like, mm-hmm, you know, but it's my, like, this is an idea that I would love to have. And I did actually have like two friends on the East Coast go up and down New York City around and highlight and sit with some queer owned business owners and actually like interview them.
Cool.
And I, if you scroll back on my reels on Instagram, you'll see that I launched like a 6-episode mini docuseries. I would love to, like, you know, inspired by Humans of New York, like Instagram page. Like, I would love to like share people's stories, the successes, the losses, the hard times, the good times of like running their businesses. Mm-hmm. I think that's a TV show waiting to happen, you know? Mm-hmm. But I mean, from the perspective that I get, I am in awe at how inclusive these queer owned businesses are. Mm. Yeah. And like, yeah, I see a lot, like, just the little things, like you don't have to pay to buy something to use our bathroom, you know? Mm-hmm. And yeah. So like a lot of little things like that, you know, they really care about their community and the people coming through their doors.
Mm. That's really sweet. And no surprise. Like that's,
no, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really neat. And they're resilient. I mean, I've seen my friends that started a coffee shop I'm in Portland, Oregon, but I used to live in Bend, Oregon before this. And they just opened an indigenous queer owned coffee shop, and their pride flag keeps getting ripped down. And Bend as a community has started donating more flags to just keep putting one up every single day. I mean, it's a battle, but resilient. I mean, they're gonna have a pride flag up. Mm-hmm. They won't run out of pride flags to hang.
That's amazing.
As a community over
there.
That's
beautiful. That the town supports it. That's incredible.
Yeah, there's a really strong community there.
Neat, neat. And have you seen people like crop up who are in a place that's hostile? I mean, that's a hostile place. Like anywhere even crazier hostile, and they just are like putting themselves on the website, on the map.
Oh, yeah. I have businesses in rural America all over the United States. Mm-hmm. So let alone anywhere they are in rural America, it's all the same in my eyes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not all the same, but as one that has been to 47 of the 50 states, driven through so many and has been to rural America all over, it's so similar. Mm-hmm. Outside any major city, outside Atlanta, you go 20 minutes, 30 minutes outside Atlanta. You go 20, 30 minutes outside LA. You go 20, 30 minutes outside Portland. You go 20, 30 minutes outside Madison, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It's so similar. It is so, so similar. It's fascinating. And so for anyone putting their orgs or businesses on our platform, you know, that are in rural America, like, I'm really damn proud of you. Mm. And like, I see you, I hear you, and you are absolutely allowing, you know, queer and trans youth to see that you exist is helping them so much. Mm. Absolutely.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Yeah. And when you were on your road trip, what did you do to find queer spaces?
Well, I kept Googling like queer owned spaces here because, you know, there's the like LGBTQ friendly on Google Maps. Mm-hmm. And I just found that like wasn't working out. Like it was just your everyday businesses. It was like people just putting that on there to make more business, you know? Mm-hmm. I feel like they didn't actually like, care about the queer people coming through their doors. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I started Everywhere is Queer. But this was in 2019 before I launched there. I even had the idea, but definitely seeded my idea. I didn't have an OA. Like mm-hmm. I genuinely would always search. And obviously like New York City, I was at House of Yes in Brooklyn and with all the mm-hmm. queers, you know, and was able to find some spaces. But what I found was it was so much nightlife, bars, drinking. And like I wanted to go get my coffee and just like go to a queer-owned coffee shop and feel seen as just myself walking through mm-hmm. those doors and have no one comment on my voice, you know? So that's why I wanted to start Everywhere is Queer outside. I mean, bring on the nightlife, but like, and the bars and the breweries, but like, also I want to go, people got to go get their coffee and their breakfast burrito.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Got to go get a gift for their friend somewhere, you know?
Exactly. Like there's so much more than a drink at a bar.
Absolutely.
To feel safe.
100%. 100%. We have a segment we call your misfit moment. It was the moment when you knew that the traditional world was not for you.
Rural Wisconsin, when I was playing with those Barbie dolls, and my family was not happy about it. I knew that I was onto something different than the traditional path.
Yep.
That my rural America wanted me on.
Did you make a weird Barbie?
Probably. I hope I did. I loved that weird Barbie. Yeah. My family kept trying to give me Ken, but I was like, Ken's cute. But like, can I like add some fashion to Barbie or like add some fashion to Ken, you know? Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
That's what came to mind for that.
Yeah. I love it. Or Alan, right?
Alan. Shout out to Alan. Yes. The queer bestie.
He's sort of just hanging out.
I know, just like there, you know? Yeah. Me with all the girls growing up for sure.
And so you came out when you were in your town?
I actually came out my junior year of college. So no, I was at Colorado State in Fort Collins, Colorado. I was 21 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And what was that like going back home, if I may ask?
Yeah. I mean, it's always hard going back home. I feel like there's a lot of things that are a little triggering going back home. My whole family still lives there. So I don't go home that often, but like I will go home for sometimes the holidays or something like that. But I try to get my family to come visit me out here. Mm-hmm. but going back home then was hard. I mean, it was hard.
Yeah.
My family has come a long way and they're very supportive, which I am really grateful for. Hmm. My mom does have an Everywhere is Queer bumper sticker on the back of her car. And, that makes my heart very happy and I feel seen by that.
Mm, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Yeah. Similar, like, I mean, my family was just in Queens, but like still Italian Catholic, they're not seeing, you know, they're very odd. And now my mom's like, you know, she has, you know, her friend's son is gay and they go antiquing together and she's just like, you know, friends with his husband and she's just, you know, very kind of come a long way. Yeah. Still, you know, something to go, but you know,
it's. Well, yeah, no, my family's come a long way. Definitely.
Yeah.
And are very supportive. So.
Dope. Dope, dope, dope.
Yeah.
We also have a misfit inspiration, misspiration, if you will.
Okay.
That's when you're in the lulls, you know, there's like creative highs, creative lows. What do you breathe, look at, go to get you through?
I step away from like the computers, the internet, the all of it, like exactly this past weekend. Mm-hmm. I've been feeling like burnout for sure. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm waking up tired. I'm going to bed tired. I'm tired. During the day, I don't take naps. I've been taking naps, you know, which I am all here for a nap if you need a nap. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've been experiencing burnout. And so I went into nature. I went camping with a group of queers. We turned our phones on airplane mode for 2 days and we skinny dipped in the cold, cold river. And did some Wim Hof and yeah.
I love it. Good old Wim Hof.
Good old Wim Hof.
That's beautiful. And this I love about, I used to live in San Francisco and
yeah,
the West Coast is, you're all so good at camping. In New York, it's like such a, I mean, it's not even that far, but everyone is such a fucking, no, I don't know if I want to, it's yeah, just like.
They don't have cars, you know, it's like, yeah, yeah,
it's like, how are we going to get there? And is it going to be nice? And oh, yeah. I don't have a tent.
Well, it's so interesting because like the amount of national forest land on the East Coast compared to the West Coast, it's like astronomical, the differences, mm-hmm, you know, we have access to so much national forest land, which you don't have to pay to camp on. It's just like, pick up your shit and leave no trace, you know?
Yeah. It's beautiful. And the everything, it just, it doesn't take far. It doesn't take far to go. And you're just like, wow, it's a gorgeous totally place. And
yeah.
Hell yeah. Hell, is basically like Portland, the amount of dots in Portland, I'm imagining, must be pretty astronomical.
Yeah. I mean, this place, I am so damn grateful to call home. Coming from Bend, Oregon, which is 150 to 200,000 people, strong-ish queer community for how small the town is. But coming to Portland, 600 plus thousand people, has been an amazing jump for me. I mean, there's no like queer neighborhood in Portland. It's like all of Portland is queer. And like you go to a coffee shop and I'm like, I can't believe how many queer people. I mean, this is obviously making a lot of assumptions.
Yes.
What feels like a lot of queer people in this space, and you go to the grocery store and you go to a bar and you go to this, but it's not even like a queer owned bar. You just go out to eat and it's just like, I feel so seen.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And just like surrounded by queer joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And queer love. And so it's, yeah, Portland's a dream. It really is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. San Francisco was a similar way. Now it's so, so different. When I was there, and I just got progressively worse as the time is going on. By worse, I mean straight. No offense, guys, but
my partner's from Palo Alto. So we go down there every once in a while and we get the SF scene.
Yeah, which is, you know, I'm hoping that with all the tech companies leaving, that maybe we'll get some more people returning. But, and people have moved from somewhere to New York.
How long have you been in?
I've been in New York for a bit. I was only in San Francisco for like 3 years and then I came out to New York. And then a lot of people from San Francisco, ironically, who were in San Francisco at that time, have moved to New York, which is so funny to me to think New York is a less expensive city than San Francisco. But they're like, oh, we can't afford San Francisco. I'm like, you came here?
Yeah.
This is pretty freaking. Or they moved up to Portland or Seattle. Yeah. Mostly Portland.
Yeah. Portland's a lot more affordable than New York and LA and Seattle.
Yeah.
And still inaccessible for a lot of people, but it's definitely more affordable than those spaces.
Yeah. The last time I was at Portland, I think, was for some sort of Dyke soccer tournament. I don't know if they still do it, but
you know, I'm not invited to that, but that's okay. That's not my, I am sure it still exists. I will tell you that.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Oh, I'm glad.
Now that the sports bra is here, the bar, have you heard of that one?
I've not.
Yeah. The sports bra. Right? That's what it's called?
Yeah.
It's a Flinta, I think that's what they're saying these days, bar, which is amazing.
Fuck yeah.
I've had some drinks there, though. It's amazing. Love it. They only play women's sports.
Hell yeah. And do you have any businesses that stick out that you thought were just so cool? Obviously, nothing's your favorite. You love all of them. But like any you're like, I just want to talk about.
Yeah. But I am absolutely blanking out on their name right now. So hang on. Just give me 2 seconds to find this business.
Okay.
And I'm so sorry to this business that I can't remember your name. I shout them out in every podcast I think that I've recorded on, which is probably like 15 now. People's Inclusive Welding in Portland, Maine. Y'all are amazing. Like blue collar jobs, like welding. Like they have courses to train queer and trans people about welding. And it's just like so inclusive. They have so many workshops. It's like things like that is so cool to me, you know? And there's like, on top of it, there's a spot here in Portland that's like queer oil changes and stuff like that. And it's just like how comfortable I am going to get my oil change is just like, I lower my voice and I take off my nail polish, you know, and I'm just like, wear my most masculine outfit. Yeah, I'm just like, yeah, regular, please, you know, like, but it's like going to a queer spot. I'm like, oh, girl, can I get regular? You know, it's like, love your nails.
Fuck yeah.
That's what life should be like.
Hell yeah.
And that's what those people are making those spaces like. And that I just love it. I'm so grateful.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Bringing queerness. Any other business you'd like to highlight?
Oh, there's too many.
There's too many. All of them. Go to the app. Go to the website and figure just it out.
Go to everywhereisqueer.com. Hopefully an app yes. soon. And yeah, everywhereisqueer.com. Find your local. I'm going to shamelessly plug what I just launched on Thursday, which is what I said mm-hmm. earlier, queer community groups or queer nonprofits. So we've had 205 queer community groups, nonprofits, your dyke soccer clubs, groups, your queer pickleball leagues, your queer hiking groups, your queer chess clubs, you're queer. You do not have to be at like a 501c3 status. Like you can just be a queer group. Go and add yourself so people wherever you are can find their queer community. Because it can be hard to find community at like a queer owned business. So we're doing this so people can find queer community wherever they are.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I have a question from, on that from one of my characters.
Yes.
Her name is Cynthia. She's, a recent, divorcee from Westchester. Just picture a lot of makeup, wig, a lot of boob action.
Love it.
Sorry. Hi. Hello. Hello, Charlie. Charlie Sprinkman. Hi. How's it going?
Hi.
Listen. Hi. Oh, look at you. You're so cute. This is what I try to tell my son. He's so boring. I've tried to make him gay. I'm like, I'm trans. Be something. He doesn't do anything, Charlie. He's boring. He's a straight boy. And it's difficult for us. No, with all respect, but he just wants to study and do what he's supposed to do. And it's irritating.
Yeah.
Top to tail.
Yeah. That would be your,
listen, that would be, excuse me?
It would be irritating.
it would be. It is irritating. It's so irritating. Oh, and then he said, I want to play football. And I'm like, where have I gone wrong? Oh, so listen, I've been bisexual in college, went on an oxycodone, but I don't live with that identity. However, I want to support queer businesses. So someone who's, you know, just an ally, I guess you'd use the word. Can I use your website to support queer businesses?
100%. You know, the queer community would not be where it's at without allies. And we need your support. And so please go visit and support queer owned businesses and be nice. Remove the judgment at the door.
Of course. Well, I'm going to leave my son at the door if he's wearing that football jersey, because I can't stand it. Okay. I'll let him look inside so we can get some good inspiration.
Inspiration. Yes, exactly.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Charlie. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for, she's excited. She's already like looking up her itinerary for tomorrow after yoga and Pilates and whatever else she does.
Yes.
Cool. All right. Great. So we know where to come find you.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhereisqueer.com.
Everywhere is queer on Instagram. Everywhere is queer on TikTok. Those are the handles. Super easy, accessible. It's free to visit our map, our resource, our community. Join it. We want you.
Excellent. Yay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we look forward to seeing how this is going to grow. Very exciting.
Yeah. Yay. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, there you have it. You can follow the podcast on my page at Lauren Logi. Updates and inside info on my email list, LaurenLogi.com. Thank you to Annie McCutcheon for editing, Edward Silla at Radio Misfits Podcast Network, and Maddie McLennan for making the podcast art. Thanks to our listeners for bringing us back for another season. We'll see you soon.
The preceding was a presentation of the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. Find our other great shows on iTunes,
Stitcher Radio,
and at RadioMisfits.com. Thank you.
Thank you.